That the Lord will bless his word tonight. I don't know if anyone happened to notice that I had put a little subject on WhatsApp and wanted us to speak tonight on honor. Like to ask a question first. What is honor? What does it mean to honor someone?
Respect given unto someone for actions or deeds?
Yes, respect. What else could you say honor is? Respect is a very important part of honoring anyone. I have down esteem highly or to value. So there's really a number of adjectives that could be used for honor, but I'd like for us to think first of all about honoring God. And I feel like I have an ending message of as to why we need to honor God. So in order to honor God, it came to my mind that it links up with the way that we honor others. Would you say that would be true? Can we honor God and not show respect to people? I don't think God receives it. I believe that if we honor others, we're really showing honor to God. And it caused me to think about two other similar linking thoughts. There's one that says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So what would you say that there would be the linking up of honoring God there? What would it be? Obedience. Keeping his commandments. So that would prove that I love God. It's almost like if I obey God, and maybe I don't say I love him, but I obey him, it says that for me. Does that make sense? Or can that make sense? The same as if I show honor or respect to others, then God would say, you're showing respect to me. Doesn't he say, if you do this unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me? Yeah. So these kind of principles are applied when we honor God. And then the last scripture that I had that I thought of that was 1 John 4:20. And the part says, he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen. What's the rest of that? Can someone quote it? How can he what?
Love God whom he hath not seen.
Yes. So we have another principle there that proves our love to God is our love to our brother or our sister. And as we show our love to one another, it in turn speaks of our love for God. So our love for God is measured, wouldn't you say? Measured. Our honor to God is measured by our actions toward others. And our love for God is also measured by our love for our brother and our sister. Now, I want everyone to be free. If you have some scriptures or thoughts, you can just interrupt me. I would like for you to turn with me, though, to Revelations, the 4th chapter, and I want to see a picture of honor unto the Lord. It starts at verse 10 and 11. And if someone wants to read that and participate tonight, that might help us. Revelations 4, I'm on the wrong page. And verses 10 and 11.
The four and 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
Amen. Okay, we're studying on honor and honoring God. And we feel that when we honor others, that in turn shows that we honor God. The scripture says if we love him, we'll keep our commandments. So the obedience of the commandments proves we love God. And then if we love our brethren whom we do see, and how can we love God whom we haven't seen? But when we love our brother, it proves that we love God. But we're talking about honoring the Lord. So what we do with our fellow man or our brother and sister in the Lord or our family, whomever, it proves if we honor God or if we love God. So this passage here in Revelations, the 4th chapter, verses 10 and 11, it's a type, it's a picture of worshiping the Lord, casting their crowns down before the throne. And what were they saying? Thou art worthy. And what does it say he's worthy of? To receive glory, honor, and power. And this evening I want to connect a little bit of the glory and the honor together, because they are very similar. And you and I, we give glory to the Lord. We can say it with our lips. We do it with our actions. We give honor with our lips. And he speaks this way. The word says it, that we can do it with our lips, but our heart can be far from it. But with our lips, we can glorify him. Tell me how we can glorify him and honor him with our lips. What do you think?
Extol a virtue or merit.
Extol it. Okay, and you know what? I've got a scripture over in Chronicles that's going to establish that thought. You and I must glorify him. Now, I don't believe that the Lord is talking about a spirit that is out of order, because the word of the Lord says everything is done decently and in order. And so our praise is also decently and in order. What about when you pray? What do you say? Do you ever say the words, I glorify thee, I praise thee, I worship thee? You've heard me say that. Brother Stanley, he taught me that. Not that he knew he was teaching me. I was just listening to his prayer, and I was inspired with it. And he would often say that in his prayer. I glorify thee. I praise thee. I worship thee. I honor thee. And you know, we can all be inspired with the same words. We don't have to think, well, I've got to wait till I have special words. God is worthy of us glorifying him and honoring him with these words. And they can be meaningful words, because they're coming from our hearts. We want to glorify him and praise him and worship him. So those words can be demonstrated or used in our actions and be received and accepted of the Lord. And it is pleasing unto him for us to honor him.
Right
here.
Let the words of my mouth
and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
And before we end tonight, I think that verse is going to mean a little bit more, because our burden, we have a burden tonight, but we're laying a little foundation here and getting a picture in our mind that what our actions with our fellow man really is going to honor the Lord or dishonor him. So, let's see. Let's go to Psalms 29 and 2. And someone read at least that verse for us. Psalms 29 and 2.
Give unto the Lord the glory, give unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Now, you know, there are many verses that we could use tonight, and maybe in your private devotions, in your worship at home, you might look this up. The word honor. You can look up glory. You can find many verses that we won't be able to even come to tonight. If anyone, since we sort of announced that as being our subject tonight, if anyone has any contributing scriptures, feel free to give them. One scripture that came to my mind is, he that honoreth me, I will honor. So when we honor the Lord, he'll honor us. Anyone else have a comment before we go on to another passage?
The old scripture, honor thy father and mother.
Yes. Yes, and we're going to come to that. That's under another category. But if we honor our parents, we're honoring God. The same principle will work there.
As long as you're not flattering them, there's a difference.
I'm sorry?
As long as you're not flattering them.
Oh, yes. You know,
flattery is extolling something that isn't meritorious or didn't happen, whereas honor is showing appreciation.
Yes.
Or extolling a merit.
Yes. You know, flattery is so fake. It's oftentimes easy to discern. You can tell when it's real and when it's not. And you think, you know, the Lord can.
Many times it's overdone.
Yeah. Okay, I would like for us to turn to 1 Chronicles 16. And we're going to look at verses 8 through 11 and verse 15. So if you'll read along with me, I want to give you some of the thoughts that has been on my heart concerning this subject tonight. And I'm trusting that we can link it up to have a meaning that we understand the burden that we have. It's 1 Chronicles 16. We're going to start at verse 8. Someone read 8.
Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people.
Oh, to make known his deeds among the people. What do we do normally when we are praising the Lord or thanking the Lord on prayer meeting night? Are we not making known his deeds among the people? Each one of us have experienced something that the Lord has done for us, and we love to tell it. I want to tell you, I love to tell what the Lord has done. I was speaking with my cousin that is lives in Arkansas, and they are Church of Christ, and when her sister died, they asked me to do the funeral, and See, it was almost embarrassing, but she's been listening to some of the messages I've preached. And but in our conversation on the phone, it's easy for me to talk to her about the Lord because she receives it. And she loves to communicate about prayer and the Lord. And so, I don't know, I got a little excited on the phone the last time. And I just said, you know, Cindy, this is my life. This is who I am. And she was just, I don't know, she just received it and was happy. And here she's of a religion that they don't believe in women in the ministry, but I was making known the deeds. The Lord wants us to be free to make known. We're honoring Him. We're giving glory to Him when you have opportunity, but don't do it, just force it. You know, we don't want to force these things. It's the Spirit of the Lord leading us and anointing it, and then it's not flattery, like He said. We're not trying to flatter the Lord. Can we flatter Him? We just want to be true. So the next verse in the last part, I just want the last part, verse 9, where it says talk. Just that last part.
Talk to you all His wonderful works.
Talk. Talk about His wonderful works.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, thank the Lord. Lauren was saying to, I don't know where we were, that you started talking about when we talk to others. Oftentimes the only opportunity we have is to give a testimony. And the Lord just opens it. Oh, the Lord did this for me. Oh, thank the Lord, you know. Someone read verse 10. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Verse 11. Someone read 11.
Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually.
Oh, seek Him continually. You'll be honoring Him. You'll be praising Him by seeking after Him. Now verse 15. What are we to be mindful of? The covenant of the Lord. That's His promise. And His promises will not fail. And so we can honor Him when we are mindful of the covenant of the Lord. Now those were just some verses that were impressed upon me of ways that we can honor the Lord. One scripture also says, it says, I will give them a heart to know Me. You know, the Lord wants to increase in knowledge, in your knowledge of Him. The scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, that His mercy endureth forever. Now, we're going to sort of move along now. Just wanted us to think about honoring the Lord and how our actions with our fellow man is going to also demonstrate that same action to the Lord. But the Lord says in His word, He commands that we honor others. So it's not just God that we're going to honor, but we have to think about honoring others. And so Sister Rosa had the scripture of honor thy father and thy mother. And certainly that is one verse that came to my mind first when I thought of this word honor. But what is important about that from the commandment? It's in Exodus 20 and 12, if you want to look it up. There's something that's tagged to the end of that I want us to think about. Honor thy father and thy mother. And then there's something that's attached. That you may live long on the earth. And if you can get that scripture, it even says a little bit more than that. I don't have it written down, but I read it.
You want to read it?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee.
Yes. Hello, you may sit down, and we're having a little Bible study on honoring God.
Cool.
So that our days will be long on the earth if we honor our parents. And I'm sorry, I wasn't quite listening to the last of it.
The days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth.
Okay, then there's probably another scripture because it says, it will be well with thee. There's another passage that it probably says, it will be well with us if we honor our parents. Now, are all parents honorable? No. We're living in a world that there's many parents that don't even really deserve honor. Is that an excuse not to honor them? No. Because it's a commandment. Because if I honor my parents because the word of the Lord said to do it, then he will not only honor me, but I will honor God. So that's one of the commandments where we honor others. Now, this said that it is the first commandment that carried a promise with it. It didn't just stop and say, honor your mother and your father, and that was it. You can honor parents that aren't honorable by the grace of God. There is a way. It is through Christ. It is through His love. God knows how to help us with that. And I will tell this little story. I was in a place and preaching on Mother's Day, and I used this scripture. And there was a young man there that his parents had divorced, and he had not had a relationship with his mother. He was actually bitter towards her. And I made some of these kind of statements, such as I am tonight. And the next day, you know what he did? He called his mom and took her out for lunch. And it began to heal their relationship. Now, there's things that are lost in those kind of relationships, but you can work with what you can have. God wants to work with that. And today, he has a relationship with both of his parents. But what if he didn't hear the word of the Lord? It took the word of the Lord for him to break down that wall and go and call his mom. So I'm glad for the word of the Lord. Now, I'm just going to insert a few little scriptures that tells us other people to honor. And for the sake of our guest tonight, we started out speaking about how that when we honor other people, we're really honoring God. And the scripture also says, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So the obedience of his commandment proves, my actions prove I love him. It says, how can you love God whom you have not seen, if you don't love your brother whom you do see? So if we love our brother or a sister, then it proves, our actions prove that we love God. So we're going on the principle of our actions and how it will prove if we're honoring God or if we're loving God. So now we're discussing other people that the word says for us to honor. Now, the meaning for it is respect. Somebody else might give another little portion of the meaning just to bring it out. To show esteem highly, to value, and those kind of scriptures, definitions rather. One scripture says for us to honor widows who are widows indeed. Now that is a scripture. And we're not going to really go into a big, long discourse on that. But it's a good reminder to all of us. Consider the widows. The scripture says that our religion, true religion, is to visit the fatherless and the widows and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. So it went together. But God has a special place in his heart, I think, for widows. Show care to anyone that you know is a widow. Did you know, now no one here tonight is a widow, but we have widows that come among us, and their lives are sad, and they mourn. Even after their companion is gone for a number of years, there's still grief, and there's things that they have to face that the normal wife doesn't have to face. Projects in the home, keeping the home up, where the man always took that responsibility. So let's honor the widows and to do what we can to help them. It also says, and I'm not going into a great depth of this scripture, but you can look it up and study it. It says that we are to honor the elders. And I do think God is pleased for us to show honor to older people. And I believe that he is honored when we honor them. Help them in their way of life. You know, the older that you get, the harder it is. You go backwards instead of forward. For many years, you know, you're perfectly capable of taking care of yourself and doing all of these kind of things. And then as time goes by, you become dependent, not independent. And they often say it's like becoming a child again, and your child has to take care of you because you're becoming dependent. So for us to consider those that are older in their aged years and be there to be an assistance, maybe to even call them. And I'm going to mention Sister Jean. Sister Jean is going through such a hard time right now. And she is, what, in her 80s, what is it, 82 or something like that? And she is thinking of her end and sometimes longing for it. But just a little word, a little comforting word, I believe will honor the Lord. It will honor her, but it will honor the Lord. Now we're going to get into some meat. And if you'll turn with me to 1 Peter 2 and 17. This is a very, I count this a very weighty scripture. And I believe that the Lord is wanting us to consider the atmosphere of our age and how it affects us. And whether it will honor the Lord or whether it will dishonor the Lord. So 1 Peter 2 and 17, if someone will read that.
Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king.
You want to read it again?
Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king.
We don't need to read it a third time, do we? It has a lot of weight in what that is saying, that you and I are to honor all men. We're to show respect to all men. We are in a world that is not happening. And it makes us sad. But you know what? If you and I don't guard our hearts, if we don't guard our sacrifice with the Lord, we can slip right into that kind of attitude and spirit. I've already preached a message. I told you a few weeks ago that I do not preach political messages. That maybe I have spoken on political things maybe one other time. That I don't believe the Church of God should get under a political spirit from the pulpit. I believe, like that message said, that you are not of this world. You are in this world. You're a stranger and a pilgrim. That Jesus didn't say, take them out of this world, but keep them from the evil of this world. We're in this world. But it's what we do. We want to honor God with our lives, with our actions, with our words. And this says, honor all men. Now, not all men are honorable. And we may not feel like honoring some men. But we must do what God says for us to do to honor Him. Love the brethren or brotherhood. Now, that could be taken two different ways. The brethren or the brethren in the congregation, the brethren in the church, that's part of the brotherhood. But mankind is also counted like a brotherhood. And are they always lovable? It may be hard to love some people. But if you will seek the Lord and honor the Lord, He will help you and me. He will put His love in our hearts and help us to love the brotherhood. And the next one says, fear God. That's sort of an element that we need in everything that we do, is fear God. Not the kind of fear that's paralyzing, but the kind of fear that is respectful. Respect God. Respect His word. Respect His people. Honor God, in other words. And then the last one is going to hook up with our burden tonight. Honor the king. Well, we don't have kings. We have presidents. It's a political system. It's how our country was built on. And as I said the last time, I don't believe that God would be pleased for us to give out opinions. We give the word of the Lord, and let it influence us, that we not become affected by the spirits. You believe in spirits? There's spirits in this world. There's spirits that are operating in our whole political society. There's agendas. Some are called left and some are called right, and they're judged that way. Well, you and I need to keep ourselves in the love of God. I'm not saying don't vote. I'm not saying go and vote. That's between you and God. And we are not promoting any candidate. We are not promoting any agenda. We are not promoting any political party. We're saying keep yourself from the spirit that is operating, that will keep you from honoring someone that doesn't seem honorable. And everyone has opinions. But if you'll take it to the Lord, what does it say in the word for us to do? Pray for those in authority. Do you pray in your private devotions? Do you remember to pray for those in authority?
That's part of that honor.
That's part of that honor. And sometimes I pray, Lord, awaken our leaders in the night when there's nothing to interrupt their train of thought. You know, there's a lot of things that's interrupting. If the Lord is there trying to deal with their heart, don't you know there's much noise, other noises that is taking that person's mind? Start praying for these men to wake up in the night and to hear the voice of the Lord and to put the fear of God before their faces. We are commanded to pray for these individuals. We don't want to pray in a negative way, do we? That's not honoring to God. Oh, Lord, bring them to their knees. Well, they may need to be brought to their knees, but let God be the judge. Let him know when to bring them to their knees. So we must respect all men. One thing that I read over in Romans, the second chapter, and somebody might get this scripture and read it. Second chapter of Romans, verses 10 through 12. Let's turn over there and read that in connection with this. It says, but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good. And then verse 11, it says, for there is no respect of persons with God. Now, didn't we say in the last little message concerning this topic of our political system that the word of the Lord says that God sets them up and God takes them down? Now, he says that about kings, but we believe that it's the same. God serves his purpose. We also brought out that he rules in the kingdoms of men. That's sort of hard to believe when you look around the whole world and you see this government going this way and that one doing this and this, and yet God is still in control. We still believe God has the authority and is still in control. So we do what God commands us to do, and we pray for those. And he has no respect of persons. He looks at every individual the same, doesn't he? Or do you believe he looks at each one differently? He loves everyone. He has the same desire for everyone on the face of the earth. And what is that desire? It's salvation. He wants every man to be saved. Every person, that's what he gave his son for, was that everyone would be saved. So he doesn't have any respect of persons. He doesn't withhold it from this one and gives it to that one.
We can honor the king or honor the president without agreeing with everything that they say.
Yes.
Or that they do, or the way they say it, or the way they do it. We can still pray for them.
Well, it makes me think of David and how that Saul was pursuing David to kill him. And David had an opportunity that he could have killed Saul. Found him in a cave asleep. And his men even said to him, kill him. And why did David not do it?
He honored God's chosen king.
That's right. He cut off just a piece of his garment to prove he had been there. And he may have even repented of that later. But Saul, when he awakened, he said to David, you're a better man than I am. Because he said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. Now, we're not saying that kings are anointed, But when there's a call, and God has called and put the person in there, it's God's will. And so we honor the position. We may not be able to honor the person as much as we're honoring the position, if that makes any sense at all. So I'm going to connect this one with, again, for us to be warned that we not get tangled up with the political spirit of our world, because it will affect the way that we honor the Lord and how we can honor others when the commandment says to. I want to open this subject up again about showing respect to all men and respect to the king. Let's turn to Titus, the second chapter and verse 2. And Titus, the second chapter and verse 2. I'll go ahead and read it. It's chapter 3, verse 2. I knew that wasn't correct when I read it. I'm going to start with verse 1. It says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, and to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work." What does that mean? What do you think that means? What?
Honor the rulers.
Respect the law. Obey the laws of our land. The scripture says for us to obey the laws of our land. We're to be law-abiding citizens, aren't we? According to the word of the Lord. But it says that we are to be ready to every good work. Now look at verse 2. Speak evil of no man, and then skip down just a little bit for the sake of our little thought today, but be gentle, shewing all meekness unto all men. This is a high calling. Doesn't the scripture say it's to be a saint is a high calling? We're called to be saints in this world. We're also called to be what else? A light. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. The scripture says you are to be lights in this world. And what else are we called to be?
Holy.
We're called to be holy. But we are also, are we called to not only a light, but what is the other thought I had? We have a high calling. Let's not resent it. Let's not kick against it, because there's going to be an honor that will come back to me. If I am honoring the word, I am honoring the Lord. And then he says, "He that honoreth me, I'm going to turn my honor to you." It's the best way to live. Thank the Lord. So let's look at another scripture. Let's talk about evil speaking. You don't have to answer this, but would you say our airwaves are full of evil speaking?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Don't let it once be named among you. That's what the scripture says. Don't join in with it. Don't allow it to affect your passions and your attitudes. And don't let the enemy of your soul pollute you with the evil speaking that's in our world. There's hatred and malice and unforgiveness and bitterness. It's just all mixed in there. And you and I don't want to have any part of it, because we cannot go to heaven with any of that in our heart.
All peace with all men and holiness without
yes.
No man shall see the Lord.
We need to follow after peace. So, go ahead. What?
One interesting thing about the two scriptures talking about honoring all men is the very act of honoring somebody, to honor somebody, you have to look for the good in them.
Yes.
Because if there's someone that's not honorable, there's got to be something somewhere that you can find that you can honor them in.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise it's just empty words. Flattery, as it
were. Yeah, flattery. Well, now I'm going to just insert this because it's an extreme. But what if we were living in the time of Hitler?
You'd have to have the grace of God.
You'd have to have the grace of God. It would take much prayer, wouldn't it? Because, see, we don't live in the time of Hitler, but we know the history. And we have also, remember in the messages that we preached on forgiveness, and we talked about Corrie Ten Boom, and how that afterwards she saw the guard coming toward her. She recognized him. And here she had been preaching forgiveness to the Germans. And for a moment she thought she could not forgive. And she even sort of looked away. She didn't make eye contact with him, and he came on anyway. And she cried out to the Lord, "Help me." And when he stuck his hand out, the glory of the Lord came over her. And the forgiveness was there. That's what grace is. That's what God wants to do for every individual that will call for his help.
Well, there's also, in, I've seen something here in John that Jesus said.
Okay.
In John 12:26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serves me, him will I follow.
Him will I what?
He says, if any man
serves me.
My Father honor.
My Father will honor. Well, you remember the testimony. The man stuck his hand out and said, "Will you forgive me?" And he didn't recognize her. She recognized him. He told her that he had been a guard. And she remembered him. And she willingly forgave. I'm glad that I wasn't living in that time. That was a hard time. But let's go on now. If you and I speak evil like the world, what will happen? We'll fall. We'll fall under that spirit. It will influence how we feel about everything then. It will begin to work a work in us that I feel ill toward my brother and my sister in the Lord. If I give myself to any of those hateful spirits, you know, over in Revelations, it speaks about a cage of hateful birds. You remember that scripture over in Revelations? We don't want any part. We don't want to allow God, to allow the devil to have any part or lot in our thoughts, in our conversation, in our influence with others. Don't you know many people are influenced one way or another in our political world? By the things that they hear, whether it's a lie or whether it's the truth. I heard the other day, or read the other day, that a lie told often enough becomes the truth to that person's mind. I don't want to be deceived, do you? So we must keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Now let's go to 2 Peter, the second.
Vengeance is mine, I will repay.
Yes, God's in control. 2 Peter 2:10. And this verse says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh." And skip down just a little bit there, and it says, "despise government." We mustn't despise what God has allowed to be in our country. Trust Him. Pray. Live a godly life. Obey the laws of the land. Pray for God. What is that scripture? It says that we may live a peaceable life in the midst of all of this. We can live a peaceable life right in the midst of all of the confusion. But then it goes on, and this is what it says, presumptuous. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Let us fear to get caught up in speaking evil of those in leadership. We're commanded to pray. I believe the Lord is wanting us to just be warned. Just be alert. We hear so much. We read so much. We must guard our hearts. We must guard our sacrifice. Thank the Lord. God is in control. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, and verses 3 and 4. It says, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." What are we supposed to be? And what army are we in? And what does the song say? I'm fighting in the army of the Lord. One song says, I've enlisted in the army till I die. Remember, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And I'm thankful to live in this country. Aren't you? I'm thankful for the freedom that we have. I'm thankful that we're not living in a time of being afraid to worship like this. I'm thankful. But we must honor what God says for us to honor. And it says now you and I are a good soldier. We're going to have to endure a few things. No, we're going to have to endure a lot of things, some hard things. And then it says, verse 4, and this is the one we want to end with. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Now, Lord, give us understanding of what that means. It's not all what I've spoken of tonight. The cares of this life can choke us. But we are not to be entangled with the spirits of the political world. And I want you to know that I believe God wants us to be familiar with what's happening in our world. Be familiar with the laws that are being passed. If we're not familiar, how will we know to pray? And I believe that God wants us to be informed, but He doesn't want us to be entangled. He wants us to guard our hearts and our minds. The scripture says, keep yourself unspotted. And remember what He said, he that honoreth me, I will honor.